Suddenly, he started. His eyes grew strangely bright, and he gnawed nervously at his underlip. Between two of the windows stood a large Florentine cabinet, made out of ebony and inlaid with ivory and blue lapis. He watched it, as though it were a thing that could fascinate and make afraid, as though it held something that he longed for, and yet almost loathed. His breath quickened, a mad craving came over him. He lit a cigarette and then threw it away. His eyelids drooped, till the long fringed lashes almost touched his cheek, but he still watched the cabinet. At last, he got up from the sofa on which he had been lying, went over to it, and having unlocked it, touched some hidden spring. A triangular drawer passed slowly out. His fingers moved instinctively towards it, dipped in and closed on something. It was a small Chinese box of black and gold dust lacquer, elaborately wrought, the sides patterned with curved waves, and the silken cords hung with round crystals and tasseled in plaited metal threads. He opened it. Inside was a green paste, waxy in luster, the odor curiously heavy and persistent. He hesitated for some moments, with a strangely immobile smile upon his face. Then, shivering, though the atmosphere of the room was terribly hot, he drew himself up and glanced at the clock. It was 11:40. He put the box back, shutting the cabinet doors as he did so, and went into his bedroom. As midnight was striking bronze blows upon the dusky air, Dorian Gray, dressed commonly and with a muffler wrapped round his throat, crept quietly out of the house. In Bond Street he found a hansom with a good horse. He hailed it, and in a low voice gave the driver an address. The man shook his head.
"It is too far for me," he muttered.
"Here is a sovereign for you," said Dorian.
"You shall have another if you drive fast." "All right, sir," answered the man. "You will be there in an hour."
And after his fare had got in, he turned his horse round and drove rapidly towards the river.